My message today is entitled Unoffended While Undelivered. Unoffended While Undelivered. And we're just going to read from verses 2 to 6. And it says this. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Are you who should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want to say today that there are many types of miracles. Miracles come in lots of shapes and lots of sizes. And we love the miraculous. We love to see the power of God moving in big ways, in great ways, and completely outside the natural box. And because it helps us many times to believe in God, or we love being in awe, or we love seeing miracles when we are either to see them in the Bible or sometimes in our own life, we see the miraculous happen. And there are many biblical examples of miracles. We've just read them. There is miracles for young people when the 12-year-old girl was raised from the dead. And God is raising up young people today. All the people from Summit said, Amen. Amen. There's a middle-aged miracle. Man, 38 years at the pool of Bethesda waiting for that water to stir. And one day it did, and he got healed. And Jesus said to him, take up your mat and walk. But there is a miracle, and I believe it's a last day miracle, and it's the end of days miracle. And we may not recognize it as such. We may not think it's so miraculous. But when I believe a close reading of this word shows us there is something I believe God is ready to pour out on an end days, last days church, and it is completely miraculous. And it is an arresting testimony. And this last day's miracle, the end of days, is being able to stand and not being offended in Christ. It's being grace to endure and grace to sustain a load of miseries, adversities, persecutions, provocations, in faith and trust, in patience, and that we will not be offended at what Christ is doing. Offended in his time, offended in his ways, offended in how he is accomplishing his work in us and through us. Sometimes, you know, you and I, beloved, we will find ourselves in the John the Baptist situation when we seem outside the miracle season, when answers to prayer are long coming. When we seem to experience repeated failures in areas of our life in spite of all the truth that we know. When feelings that want to condemn us, when there seems to be opposition on every side, there is going to be an anointing given to his church for those that want it and those that are looking to his word to see the ways of Christ. We will refuse to be unoffended. We will not be a people who say in difficult times, why God? We will be, even though we're in a season of being undelivered, we will be unoffended. When everything in us wants to give up, get out, go home, when everything in us says, go back, this is too hard for you, this is too much, give up, you can't do this, there will be a miraculous anointing given us to stay the course. And it is no less miraculous to stay in that place, to stay in long-suffering mode with people, with their circumstances. That is no less miraculous to stay in that mode. And we will stay in that mode because we will not be offended by what Christ is doing, how he does it, and when he does it, at his pace and his time. Now, the fight to stay undefended is often the greatest temptation to those with the strongest testimony in Jesus Christ. That many times is the fight to stay unoffended, because when you have a testimony of Christ. He has done the miraculous in your life. Sometimes we fall back to that's how God really works. That's how God really does it. That's when we're really anointed. That's when the favor of God is upon us. Because that perhaps has been our experience. That has been the experience of others who seem like, wow, they're really moving in God or growing in God. But our text today shows us that John the Baptist, who was a man, the scripture tells us, was the New Testament Elijah. He was the man, the forerunner who was to prepare the way for the God's Son, Jesus Christ. He was to be a messenger to prepare the hearts of the people. Something you never expected is coming. A new day of God dealing with man is coming. And it took a very unusual man with a very unusual anointing to be able to stand in that place. Between the Old Testament understanding and a New Testament revelation, he had to be a man very sensitive to how God worked and God moved. And many times he had to step out, as it were, on water, saying things maybe that was never said before. And yet knowing God was with him. And yet to this man, we see him in his prison saying, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? I want to say, beloved, that you can be considered strong in your faith and still know times and seasons of doubt because you're in a place where you are outside of the miraculous. You can be in a place where it seems like you are in a prison of your that you find yourself in. And when we look at John's life, this time came because John's hard time came because he was doing something right. He was doing it right. And he's in prison. We look at this man. He is a blood relative of Jesus. He's his cousin. There was prophecy at his birth. There was like 400 years of silence. There were no, from the Old Testament closing at the end of the book of Malachi to when John was born. And it was like 400 years of silence where nobody could bear witness that God was speaking anymore. And when this baby was born, it was, and all of a sudden the water started stirring in the people of God. All of a sudden the priests, the high priests, they began understanding God is moving among us again. And God has raised up this voice. And it was like all the expectation were pinned on this man and what he had to say. And he actually, as you know, baptized Jesus. When he saw Jesus appear, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world." He must have been astounded sometimes at his own words, but he knew it was true. This was a man who had disciples that gathered round him, and he knew what it was to be a teacher and a leader. And yet he was given the great revelation when in the presence of Jesus, he would say, "He must increase, I must decrease." This is a man who understands deep spiritual things. This is a man who's lived it. This is a man who has long before anybody else had a clue what was happening. Long before anybody else could really perceive what was happening in their midst. John was their leader. John was their teacher. John was the voice. If they had understanding at all, it was because they heard him and listened to him. He was a prophet, and his words divided the religious opinion of the day. And he brought light and hope to the common man. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees pulled away from him because he didn't affirm their hypocrisy. But he was speaking this new revelation, and the people were stirred. He had incredible courage. He took on the prevailing secular giants of his day. And he was fearless in raising his voice at what was destroying their society. He told King Herod in relation to Herodias, who was wife of the king's brother, he said, "It is not lawful for you to have that partner." He said fearlessly, it is not lawful for you to have that partner, and it rocked society. It rocked it from top to bottom. But now we see here that prison was his part. Prison was where this walk was taking him. And in the darkness and in the isolation of it, in his the heavy chains, the atmosphere, probably the time to just replay in your mind the events and everything that led up to this. All of a sudden, all that lovely certainty about Jesus, all that lovely certainty of declaration, all that lovely certainty of knowing who he was and why he came seemed to be lost. Are you the one who's to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus didn't say, you know something, John? I'm so disappointed in you. Jesus didn't say, you know, I can't believe. Go tell his disciples, really? You are saying this? No, the scripture tells us that Jesus in verse 4, he says, go and show John again those things which you do hear and you see. I believe that it was like, go show him again and make his ears eyes. Go show him again what he already knew, but I will anoint you, and you go speak to him again of who I am, and you will stir him and you will revive him. And Jesus understood where John was coming from. Jesus knew John had been at the center of it all, that John had been in not just the center of it all, but the forerunner, and now in prison, in his non-miraculous state. Now he's outside of the excitement. He's outside of the miracles. He's outside of the crowds. And there could have been thoughts like, am I deficient? Am I missing something? Did I displease God somehow? I mean, did I blow it so badly I had to be replaced this way? And Jesus says in verse 6, he says to him, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And Jesus was sending him a word, John, I understand it all. And what you don't understand, I do. And I'm going to ask you now, perhaps, to perform the greatest miracle of all. In this hard time, in a place you don't understand, blessed are you if you will not be offended in what's happening in your life. Can I trust you to trust me? Can you not be offended? You know, I was thinking, how in a modern day context, how do we not be today as a church? How do we not be offended in Christ? How does that, what's that modern language for us? And to do that, I think that we need to look at one of the definitions, a biblical definition of being offended. And that means to be enticed or entrapped to sin. To be enticed or entrapped to sin. Many times because of a hard circumstance not fully understood. Like John, where he seemed to be losing heart and losing place in his prison time. And not to be drawn or enticed or trapped into sin, into thinking wherever you find yourself today, beloved, somehow underlying all that you're facing, you kind of go, this is too hard. This is too much. This is beyond me, Lord. I can't do this. I know myself. I want to back away. And I can't change. I struggle in places I can't change. These underlying thoughts, maybe I'm a second-class Christian. I'm not the big one. I can't do that. And beloved, that would be entrapped into a wrong thinking. That would be getting our eyes off Christ. That would be not looking to his word to say, thy word will be a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. That, Lord, I refuse the lie of the enemy that lives to accuse me, that lives to be who is an accuser of the brethren. That, Lord, you don't deal with me that way. I thank you that you love me. And that you gave yourself for me. And that when you have to bring conviction, you bring it with such hope. You bring it with such a way forward. You bring it with a voice that says, I love you and I am with you and I am for you. And sometimes we have to learn to battle these voices because we are where we are because we have trust in Christ. We are where we are because we gave him our yes. We are where we are because by the grace of God, we know we may feel hard and slightly miserable where we are in the battle, but we know we will be far more miserable if we back up. And the grace of God, amen. And the grace of God has nailed our foot to the floor. Love does that, you know. Sometimes in unanswered prayer, and it wants to become the issue. It's like, God, you have to answer the prayer about my kids. You have to answer the prayer about my marriage. You have to answer the prayer about my singleness. You have to answer the prayer about this medical condition. And it becomes bigger than God. It becomes, we shut our eyes to pray. That's all we can think about. We judge everything by this one issue. As if God is faithful, he'll come through for us. And we judge everything by something that is huge, like John in prison. And we will lose our way and we will lose sight of Christ if we will do that. But if we will bow our heads and say, God, you are the Lord of this whole thing. And one more time, I will bow my knee to you and I will let your word that found John in his prison find me. Blessed is he who is unoffended if you will not be offended in me. Blessed. And the interesting thing is this word, it's not you're going to be blessed. It says, but blessed is he. He is already blessed. I want to look at one of the ways that is a blessing. It is a blessing because it's the privilege of being used for a greater good. Have you ever maybe understood that God actually has brought you to a place that your influence is bigger than you know? That you're standing for Christ in a very dark time. Sometimes it feels so feeble. Sometimes it feels like a hopeless place. But you are quickened. You come to church. You want to speak about Christ. You're going into your word. You're coming to a prayer meeting. And something is stirring in you. And all of a sudden, opposition like you've never encountered in your life stands up against you. It's like you are marked. It's like all of a sudden, everything that can move against you to intimidate you, to close your mouth, to other people saying, tone down. You don't have to say it. You don't have to speak it. You can just go to church. But the privilege of being used for a greater good is happening. That sometimes God is looking for the witness where people know they can't explain what's going on and they don't know the opposition, but they refuse to be offended by what Jesus is doing and how he is doing it. They lay aside every lower voice. They lay aside everything that wants to put a great big me and my agenda before their eyes. And we are learning as the body of Christ to say, Lord Jesus, not my will, but thine. And there is going to be greater good come from this. I refuse to give up the ground. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, some days I lose focus, but I thank you. You were so gentle with John. And then when you just sent him that good word, blessed is he who's not offended in me, when we continue reading in John 11, he starts praising him. He starts saying, there was never a man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. This is one of the most awesome testimonies that I'm going to give my church in the last hour, that you and I are going to be undelivered at times and unoffended. that when we go through a hard time, it doesn't become a test of whether God is good or not. We know God is good. Doesn't become a test if he hears us or not. We know he doesn't just hear us, he is with us. He is in us and he is for us. You don't need to turn there, but in Matthew 17, verses 12 and 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he tells them Elijah is already come. And he was referring to John the Baptist. They said they knew him not. And they have done to him whatever they wanted to do. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. And it says the disciples understood he was talking about John the Baptist at that moment. And he was talking about himself. He was saying, beloved, they didn't know him. He didn't look like Elijah. He didn't sound like Elijah. He didn't act like Elijah. Elijah in the physical was a man who went about and did these amazing miracles. But John didn't go about doing amazing miracles. But he was living a miracle. And he had the same anointing. And he had the same power on his life, even though it was mostly a hidden life. And the scripture says that they have done to him whatsoever they wanted. And likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. In other words, for a season. It appears the enemy can do whatever he likes in these just and righteous lives. For a season, it can look like the enemy is winning. It can look like the enemy is in control. It can look like whatever they want to do in the lives of these just John the Baptist, righteous John the Baptist, and the sinless Son of God. It looks like they can do whatever they want. But beloved, the devil is utterly defeated by the deeper plan of God. When it looked like the enemy was the most powerful and the most winning, he was completely defeated because Jesus was in the will of God. And beloved, sometimes it will look like the enemy is winning on all sides. Sometimes we will be asked to walk the path of Jesus Christ himself and the witness and the testimony of John the Baptist. And blessed are we if we are not offended in that season. Blessed are we if we know there is a deeper thing being played out for the betterment of others. Sometimes someone just has to show up and be the point man, the point of the spear going into the battle. But there's a great victory being won. But can we be trained as a people to say, no matter what I see to the left or the right, it is well. It is well with my soul. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. One time I had the privilege of speaking this message in Ireland on John the Baptist, undelivered yet unoffended. And this church that I was speaking to in Ireland, it was a young church. In other words, that most of the people that were in it were first generation Christians. And after I spoke this message, a man stood up in his whole family and they answered the altar call. And when he did that, about 95% of the church came in behind him around that altar. And unbeknownst to me, this man and this family, they had a young son who was on fire for God. And when he turned 18 or 21, I don't know, I forget which age, they threw a party for him. He was well-loved and well-liked, but he was on fire for Christ. And people came from far and wide to attend this birthday party. And at this time, this young man said to his mother, you know what? Someday I'm going to gather even more people and you're going to preach to them. Shortly after that, he was killed in an accident. And in Ireland, they wake the body at home. And so his dead body was at home. And people from all over the county came to the wake. And there were so many that the cars were parked in fields all surrounding the house. And they had put up a generator in one of the fields to light up the car park car parking in the evening when, tragically, the pole fell over and electrocuted two people on the scene, one of them being another family member. And all the power was shut off in the whole area, including the house where his body lay. And all the area plunged in darkness except these terrible arcs of electricity, killing arcs. And this story was repeated throughout the media. And it was so, people were so moved by the tragedy of this family that actually the president of the Republic of Ireland went to the funeral of this young man. And because the president came, the church was beyond packed. And the mother stood with a hand on the coffin of her son, and she preached the gospel. Remembering his words, "I'll gather them and you speak to them." Shortly after that, the family was plunged in deep bereavement because, being a very young church and being very young believers, in their mind, the blessing of God and the favor of God came in ways that they had previously experienced. And when they went through this very dark time, it was very hard for them to understand God was doing something. And when this word was preached to them, praise God, it was like their eyes were lifted and they saw that they were not under the judgment of God, but God was pouring out his love, his healing, his restoration on them. And they began to understand they could give that situation, that tragedy, that ragged hearts, those grieving hearts, they could give that to the Lord. They were able to bow their heads and they were able to say, "Lord Jesus, we give it to you. And we thank you. You will be our comforter. You will be our healer. We will fill our mouths again. We will begin to preach the gospel again because we will call you good because you are good. There's never a time you are not good." And being able to open up and receive the comfort of God. And beloved, his ways are not our ways. His ways, he is God and we are not. And when we sign up to serve him, those that will serve me will follow me. And sometimes the road goes through tragedy. Sometimes the road goes through these places where we have so little understanding. But he will be so faithful. He will be so loving. He will begin to pour out upon his church a witness and a glory that they are mine, and the inner light will grow stronger, and he will get so much glory from those that will say, "I will not be offended, Lord. Lead as you will. I am yours." Hallelujah. Jesus started praising John the Baptist. He starts esteeming him. He starts honoring him. He said, "What did you go out to see? A prophet?" First of all, he said, "Did you go out to see a reed bent in the wind? Did you think a man who can have this testimony and can stand in the hand of God and do my dealings with him, do you think that's a reed that can be shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man in soft clothing who directs his life to live only for his comfort?" No, he says, "That's not the man you came out to hear in droves. You came out to hear a prophet. But he, I tell you, is more than a prophet. He is the man that he is. There is none greater, because where I lead, he follows. And I will comfort him through every place where I lead him. I will not follow him, and I'll be more to him than he can ever imagine." And we still need this testimony in the church. We still need to see this miracle of being undelivered yet unoffended in our God, where we can say, "I bow my head, O God, and I will declare you good in the middle of my darkness, because you are good. You didn't have to die for me. You didn't have to give yourself for me. Lord, I thank you that when I was ungodly, you died for me. You chose me. Here is the love of God, not that I love him, but he loved me. And he continues to love me, and he will never stop loving me." And so it is for his church. Not offended, because we're taught to say, "My true life is not dependent on favorable circumstances, is not dependent on my performance, but I live in a much better place than that. I am blessed because Jesus Christ died for me, and he loves me unconditionally, patiently, completely. He gives his all for me. And when the enemy comes and he throws it worst at me, and sometimes where we can live in that prison for a long time, and the enemy wants to start accusing, going, you know, really? Blessed? Blessed? That sickness is a long time. Blessed, those finances have been shaky a long time. We begin to know the grace of long suffering. But well, you know what? He does not owe me an explanation. He does not owe me a revival. He does not owe me a favor. I owe everything to him. And I'm learning a glad surrender. He doesn't owe me anything, but I want to awe him. I want to change that O to an A. He doesn't owe me, but I want to awe him. A-W, I choose to be in awe of my Savior. So I just want to say, beloved, that if we can, being undelivered yet unoffended, if we can stay in the mind of Christ and refuse to accuse and call him good in the dark place, if we can stop looking at our record, whether it's a good record and we think we deserve something, or whether it's a bad record or a spotty record and believe, oh, well, we deserve this prison anyway. That's not what's happening. That's a wrong assessment. If we can learn to sing and praise him in the midnight hour, especially when we feel the worst, and if we can say, Lord, get up today and say, Lord, what can I do for you today? That breaks the power so many times of being obsessed with things in front of us. It's being able to say, I'm here to serve you. Thank you for loving me. You bought me with a price. I'm yours. What can I do for you today? And Herod heard John preaching in prison. If you read in the scriptures, Herod would actually go down and listen to him as John found his voice again in that prison and would declare what God was doing and who God was and what was about to happen. And beloved, I pray that the miracle that we will experience of being for seasons of our life undelivered and yet unoffended will have to be learned for this last day's witness. I said to Pastor David earlier, yesterday, this morning, I feel like God wants to, for the last day's church, give us an anointing and give us a revelation understanding of these things. And I just came to my heart so strongly, there's coming a day when we would choose suffering over sinning. We would choose suffering over sinning. We would choose to be cast out. We would choose to suffer reproach. We would choose suffering over sinning because the suffering somehow, there is a cleansing of the Spirit. And in that suffering, we draw close to him. In that suffering, we are so comforted by him. In that suffering, we draw so close to him that the glory of him in us and what's to come and the heaven that awaits us and being in that place of able to call him good and to break the bonds of every prison place the enemy tries to put us in and being aglow with the love of Christ and love one for another. We would choose that over sinning because we know sinning separates us and we were fearful of that. We know that in the dark times that are coming and what we have to face, that we would far rather suffer the reproach with Christ than find ourselves sinning and being separated by that kind of love, by the revelation of that kind of love. I believe in the last days we will choose suffering over sinning and we will shine as lights in the firmament. I believe there's a last day miraculous kind of thing going to come to us because we need him and he will be our comforter and he will take us to that place like John the Baptist where we will hear what he's saying. Blessed are you if you are unoffended while undelivered, because a greater good, far greater than you could ever know, is happening. Because he's good and he is in control. The love and faithfulness of God is not based on the absence of trial or pain. And the Holy Spirit's name is Comforter. And Jesus said, I will send you a Comforter. In the last days, in the early church, Christians were thrown to the lions. You students of history know this, but when the church was just in its young form, and the great persecution in a young church arose, and they were being taken to arenas, and the sport for the people was that they were being fed to lions in the arenas. And the purity and the power of their singing and the way that they met their death, the way their martyrdom, the way they walked in, all of a sudden people in that arena would leap to their feet, moved by what they were seeing, a glow, a life, and all of a sudden their death was better than the life they were living. They wanted their death more than they wanted their life. And they had to stop that spectacle. One reason was there were so many converts in that arena of people are going, I want this. I want to die for this and live like that. And beloved, I believe that we're in an arena of sorts. We're in an arena where we're becoming a spectacle. And for some of us, it's going to be a time of not being delivered and who the world is not worthy of. And Christ is going to come and meet us in an unprecedented way. So I believe he's saying, fear not, because there'll be a glory upon us. And God, yes, will deliver. He will continue to do miracles. But are we ready for this witness of John the Baptist in our church today? And I believe we are. I believe God knows he walks with us. We walk at the rate we can bear. We walk at the rate we live in the light we've got. But I feel like today the Lord is saying, fear not. Fear not. When you're in circumstances that seem a long time till they are resolved, glorify me in this. I have not forsaken you. I have a purpose far beyond you can know. There is a crown waiting for you. There is a reward that you know not of. That your witness means something. That you are having greater impact than if you got it all. You're having a greater impact than if the miracle came today. And he's saying, blessed are you if you can be undelivered for a season and unoffended in me and call me good. And there will be a glory upon us. And beloved, it's sometimes this can sound like a hard message, but it's not a hard message. We are being prepared for the times we lived in. And sometimes we know nothing about the glory of this period. Because we've not been asked to live it in a great measure as a church at large. I do know individuals have been walking it a long time. I do know that the Christians decades ago in Uganda know this. I know the Christians in Syria today know what we're talking about here. But God is faithful, and he is going to help us to put down the question, why, Lord? Why? And be able to raise our hearts. And just say, you are good, and you are God. And I bend my knee, and the peace and the joy of following you will flood us. And he will deliver in his time. You know the best is yet to come, don't you? This is not home. We're passing through. The best is yet to come. And you're having an influence more than you could ever realize by the chosen path God has for us. And I say we find a glad surrender in it. And he will be patient till we find it. He will not give up on us till we can hear it. He will not be upset with us when we're in our prison. And sometimes we get a little confused. But he will be faithful and he will brag on us. He will be honoring us. He will be esteeming us. And ultimately we will have the impact. The plan of God moves forward. And we as his church will be right in the center of his will and heart. The best place to be. The best is yet to come, beloved. Let's hold fast to Christ. We'll not be disappointed. Will you stand with me? I just want to open these altars for people who are saying, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You understand my situation. I thank you that when my faith seemed like it was failing, the exact opposite is happening. You are training me. And for those that are saying, Lord, I know who I am, and sometimes I get fearful for what, will I survive the trial? I mean, could I be put in that prison and still glorify you? Could I be put in a place, Lord, that is very hard? And the answer is, you will, because we are his. And there's some people that are saying, I'm just going to make a bold declaration that, Lord, I gave my life to follow you, and that I thank you, you will be glorious in the midst. And I just now, I give you my walls, I give you my pain, I give you my whys, I give you my questions, I give you my fear. I'm giving it to you, Lord, and I thank you. You don't reproach me, you love me, and you're bragging on me. I thank you, you're not fed up with me, it's the exact opposite. You are saying, look at these people. My will is being accomplished through them. And for those that sat under the lie, I don't think I'm doing anything for Christ, you've been understood. You're standing your ground, calling God good in your dark places. And it can take as long as it needs to take. God will always be good. And you are doing something against the spiritual wickedness in high places. You are being used in a way you can't see or know. So we're going to link arms and we're going to stay in our appointed place, and God will be faithful. You're going to say, Lord, I'm with that, and I thank you for the comfort you will bring to my heart. I thank you for the courage, the kindness, and everything I need to glow and glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, I just give me to you with all its imperfections, all its insecurities, all its littleness, and you will swallow me up in your greatness and in your faithfulness. So we just want to respond to that, because you're not going to move. You want to run, but you're not going to run. You want to move, but you're not going to move. You're looking for a way out because you feel like it's too much, but God has come and says, with me, all things are possible. I'm going to change you. I'm going to glorify you. Come. Hallelujah. Those that are responding, whether in your seat or at the front, you are not forsaken. You are chosen. You are not forsaken. You are chosen. Keep your place. Keep your place. It means something. Don't quit. Don't quit. Jesus will be so real to you. You will be flooded with the joy and the peace and the comfort only Christ can bring. Keep your place. Encourage one another. The best is yet to come. He is with you and he is for you. Tribulation is for a short while, but a glory that never fades will come into your spirit. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. You're going to step from glory to glory. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Keep your place. It's doing more good. That's why the enemy is lying so hard to you. That's why you are opposed so deeply. It means something. Keep your place. Keep your testimony. God bless you. You are being used more than you know. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for every place, for everyone, oh God, that wanted to run and didn't, who wanted to quit and haven't, who wanted to back up and look for an easier place, but have been unable to stay. Lord, we know it's not through anything of ourselves. It's all your grace. It's all your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, that you will be our reward. As we stay, you will be our reward. And I thank you, Lord, that you don't play with our lives. You're not trifling with our lives. They're precious to you. That's why you died for us. You know all about pain. You chose pain to make us free. You chose pain when you created us, oh God, because you chose to love us. So, Lord, if we enter into that field for a season, if we enter into knowing what it really means, the love of Christ, oh God, because through our suffering, then we're in a glad surrender because you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And I thank you, Lord, the best is yet to come because you are in the midst. And I thank you, God, now I pray courage and kindness and strength upon your people. Courage and kindness and strength in amazing measure be poured on us today. And may we experience a glad surrender to your will and to your way. We declare you are God and we are not. So we bend our knee and say you are good and watch the darkness dispel. Continue to have your way in our lives. And Lord, let us be really a help to those who struggle, oh God. And I thank you, we will be in this place. We give you all the glory. We are a blessed people. You said, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. We are blessed this day, and we are not offended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.